Lord, please help us now. Thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for this place, and thank you for every family represented here. I wish this to be a helpful time. I wish, Lord, please, that you'd open up your word. And Lord, most of all, this subtle thing called humanism, I wish that you could show it to us in our life. And Lord, where we kick you off the throne and where we take control of our own life and we botch it up. Lord, thank you for your healing, but Lord, please, we need you to show us that. And then, Lord, we'll change. Please, help us now in this short time, in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 3 says this. All right. And the serpent said unto the woman, verse number 4, Genesis 3, 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, small g, knowing good and evil. Where did that come from? If you go to Isaiah chapter 14, the devil tempted Eve, Adam and Eve, with the same sin that he was kicked out of heaven for. Look at Isaiah 14. If you don't have it marked in your Bible, look at verse number 12. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? How did Lucifer get cast out of heaven? Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregations in the side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. He said, I want to be God. The same sin that Satan committed against God Almighty, I want your throne, I want the power, I want the authority, is the same sin he brought to Adam and Eve. He said, God's trying to keep something from you. Wouldn't you like to stop submitting to God and instead do your own thing and become your own authority and call the shots and tell people the way it's going to be instead of obeying? Doesn't that sound better? Ye shall be as gods, small g. The same sin that Satan was cast out of heaven for is the same sin that Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden for. For wanting to be God, small g. And what's the story of redemption? That God, capital G, had to become a man because man wanted to become a God, small g. We sinned in trying to take the authority from God. We want to run our own life, and so God had to come down to earth and redeem us back to himself for wanting to take his throne. What is humanism? Humanism is when man makes himself God. And I kind of touched on this last week, and I told you I'm going to teach a whole lesson on it today. What is humanism? It's one of the most subtle, nasty things, yet it's hard to see unless specifically pointed out. I'm going to try to show you where it's at in society. Humanism is when man says, I am God. I am the authority. I determine right from wrong. If I do it and it helps me, then that automatically makes it right, regardless of who it hurts, regardless of who gets stepped on. I am my own God. I believe a Martinsburg Christian Academy is not just a Christian school only. I believe it's a Baptist school. I believe it's a Christian school, and of course, it is a private school, but it is so much more than that. I believe in the importance of it. I don't think that your children should be subject in the public school to a homosexual coming in and explaining the if there are any. Of course, they'll never tell them the negatives. But a homosexual is now allowed to come into the public schools, and they are teaching elementary students on how that being a queer fag, whatever else you want, a sodomite. Of course, they never use that word. Is all right, and that you don't need to be a gay basher. Of course, they'll never tell you that the life expectancy of a homosexual is lowered to 48 years of age. They'll never tell you that they die many times of horrible diseases, let alone AIDS and hepatitis and all the filth that goes along with it. Of course, those negatives are stayed away from, even if they are obvious. I don't think your children should be submitted to the ideologies of a lost person. when God says in the Bible, take your Bible and go to Jeremiah chapter 10. We'll come right back to humanism here in just a second. If this verse isn't marked in your Bible, I think it ought to be Jeremiah chapter 10. And look at Jeremiah 10, verse number 2. Jeremiah 10, 2. Jeremiah 10, 2. Thus saith the Lord, Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 2. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. Learn not the way of the heathen. I did not have to subject my children to the teachings of the world so that they can learn. Well, they have to experience what's right and wrong. So somebody's got to get bit by a rattlesnake before they figure out that rattlesnakes can kill you. That is stupid. So somebody has to be exposed to homosexuality. They just can't be taught that homosexuality is wrong and wicked and abominable in the sight of God. They have to be taught it so that they can decide. You don't teach a child. You don't give a child a choice between right and wrong. You make the choice for the child until, hopefully, when they're an adult, they get out on their own, they choose right like they've been taught to choose right. Not constantly exposed to, well, what do you want to listen to today? Rock music, or do you want to listen to good music? What do you want? You don't do that. You make the choice for the child. And you train them. You train them so that hopefully when they're an adult, they can make the right decision. But the whole philosophy, I don't think your children should be subject to the ideals. Now, here we go. To the ideals of lost person people. If finances are a reason for your children to not go to the Christian school, then could I submit something to you? If you knew what, hopefully, if I expose a little bit of what's taught in the public schools, I would hope somehow you might even say, you know, we might even need to reorganize our finances. Because I'll put it to you this way. There are some things in life worth sacrificing for. Your kids are one of them. If you had to downsize your house so that you could put your kids in a Christian school, your kids will grow up better than being in a large house that you could barely afford, and they go to the public school. They got this what they wanted, quote unquote, what you thought they needed, but they were exposed to pagan teaching. Let me read on here. It would be good for you to pray about your finances, to be able to put your kids in a Christian school. If you'll see Preacher and Brother Bush, they have answers. There are carpooling that can get kids back and forth to school. Like sometimes parents say, you take my kids these day and I'll bring them home, and then the next week we'll swap, and it kind of saves on gas. Gas is expensive. Gas is an issue. Here's Preacher's philosophy on pre-K-3, all right? I think the formidable years of a child where their character and their discipline is learned is up to age 5. It's the most critical time of a child's life, period. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If you can raise your own children without them being in daycare, then that is good. If you cannot, you've heard preachers say, I hate our economy because it almost forces the husband and the wife to work outside the home. Very few ladies get the privilege and honor of staying home. Some do, but it is an honor and it is a blessing. But if you can't do that, if you cannot have your kids, if you're going to put them in a daycare, then we would suggest ours above Miss Irene's. Okay, that's right down the road here, the red bus. Okay, I don't even know her. I don't care. I'm not going to. But if you had to choose between a heathen babysitter or a Christian babysitter, where here, they're not just watched, they are taught. Godly music is played. I've heard Miss Leanne singing to the kids as I've walked by there and everything else. I'm just saying, if you have to choose, I would promote our pre-K-3 above a pagan daycare. All right, here we go. And then we're working on, and you've watched, if you've been here for a couple of years, you've watched the athletic program as well as the academic program increase. And so when it comes to the Christian school, Martinsburg Christian Academy, of course I'm a teacher there and I believe in it. Of course I do. If I didn't, what am I doing teaching there? I was not raised in a Christian school. I was a public school kid. I'm the product of a public school. I am amazed at what they're taught. I didn't go to a Christian college with their foundation. I went to Hiles Anderson College. I'd heard Dr. Hiles preach a couple of times on a tape. I'd never been there for a youth conference. If you'd have told me a tour group, I thought, is that somebody that helps people move or something like that? I did not know. I didn't know squat. I got there, I just fresh out of the Marine Corps, and I'd never seen so many ladies wearing a dress before in my life. I was like, you have got to be kidding me. I was flipped out. That was my first thought, walking out of the house, and look at all the dresses. I just hadn't seen that before. You talk about culture shock. I mean, I was amazed. I like thinking back on those days. Well, I believe in our system, and I hope you can be encouraged for the Christian school, and it is worth the sacrifice for your kids. If I look at this thing called humanism, it started with Satan making oneself their own God. What does a humanist believes that men, not God, determine values, and that these values are based on prevailing circumstances? The humanists enthusiastically seek to remake the world in man's image. You say, why are you hitting public school and humanism? Because I said it last week. In 1963, when the Supreme Court said you may not pray anymore in the school, they kicked God out, they removed God, and immediately the public school system became an institution where the religion of humanism is taught. You may not teach about God. You may teach that the power lies within, that you can do it if you dream it, if you think it. You need to think positively, and you need to, it's an outlook, it's all in your attitude. I'm for attitude teaching, helping someone say, being encouragement to somebody, but no, the power comes from God. And there is a God in heaven that has blueprints to your life before you were born and when you were born. One of the will of God for your life is to find those blueprints and find what you were created for and do it before you die. That's Christianity. That's serving the Lord. Here we go. What does a humanist believe? The humanist denies the deity of God, the inspiration of the Bible, the divinity of Jesus Christ. He denies the existence of the soul, life after death, salvation in heaven, and damnation in hell. He also denies the biblical account of creation. Then, two, he believes that there are no absolutes, no right, no wrong, and that moral values are self-determined and situational. That is, do your own thing as long as it, you know, doesn't hurt too many people. He believes in removing distinctive roles of male and female. Have them all dress alike. This is known as unisex. He believes in sexual freedom between consenting adults, regardless of age, including premarital sex, homosexuality, lesbianism, and incest. He believes in the right to abortion, euthanasia, which is mercy killing or killing old people when they are no longer of value to society. That's humanism. God says honor the old. He believes in control of the environment, control of energy and its limitation. He believes the removal of American patriotism and the free enterprise system, disarmament, and the creation of a one-world socialistic government. You say, are you sure? They are stopping teaching American history in the public school because they don't want kids thinking that we are Americans. They want them thinking we are the world. That song that came out about 20 years ago in the early 1980s. I remember I was in high school when it came out. They don't want you thinking patriotically, country-wise, they want you thinking we belong to the earth. That's why the UN is starting to have more and more power. Now, I like President Bush when he says, I don't care what y'all say. Just take that bull by the horns and we're going in there. Now, I like that, but there's coming a day I don't like the patch our soldiers have to wear. I'm glad I didn't have to wear it when I was in. UN? You mean I'm an American soldier and I'm going to be under foreign command? Will he ever ask me to fire on a U.S. citizen when I was sworn to protect the Constitution of the United States and its citizens? Now, I do disagree with the U.N. I don't like the U.N. I'm against the U.N. I don't like it. I don't like the principles. When man tried to establish a one-world government in Genesis chapter 11, what happened? God scattered them on the face of the earth. And God made nations. No, I don't think God's for the U.N. All right. Let's keep on going here. What he believes is based, the humanist, is primarily based on the teachings of Plato Aristotle, Socrates, all Greek philosophers of the Golden Age, plus the French philosophers, Voltaire, Jean Rousseau, also included are Thomas Paine, Thomas Huxley, James Russell, Horace Mann, John Dewey, and Ralph Waldo Emerson. All these were atheists and all advocated no God, no need for salvation, and no eternity to be concerned with. These historical philosophers and writers simply followed the patterns of the pharaohs of Egypt, the Nebuchadnezzars of Babylon, the Cyruses of Persia, the Alexanders of Greece, and the Caesars of Rome. This philosophy of humanism was behind the rampages of Napoleon. It was the root of the escapades of Hitler, and it is the thrust behind the communist aggression in our day. The humanist believes five things. The irrelevance of God. We don't need a crutch. Religion is just simply the opinion of the people. The supremacy of the human race. We can think out our own answers. They believe in the inevitability of progress. The state will control the environment and look out for men's interests. That's national health care. That's humanism. That's communism. And if you don't have a problem with nationalized health care, go to the countries in Canada if you want heart surgery, it's a 6 to 7 year waiting list, and they come over here into America because it's not working. We were in Tennessee, and that's supposed to be the testing grounds. We were down there for 8 years. That's the testing grounds for national health care. It's a mess. Anybody who pushes that, I don't like it. I think it's awful. I think it's going to hurt America. They are for the inevitability of progress. The state will control the environment and look out for men's interests. Science, number four, is the guide to progress. We can find it in the telescope, microscope, and the test tube quicker than we can find the answers to our problems in the Bible. And then finally, number five, the self-sufficiency of man. Now, where did let me see if I took you through as far as we looked at it. Humanism started with Satan. Then he tempted Adam and Eve. That's what they got thrown out of the garden for wanting to be God. Now, it continues through the Bible. In the book of Judges, it says, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. He did that which was right in his own eyes. In Psalms chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, it ends with, God is not in all his thoughts. You know what the difference between wicked and ungodly is? Wicked is somebody who does, they're out to do wrong. Ungodly is basically our society. We are in the third generation of people who've been going to the public schools, and I am definitely for the Christian school, but the Christian schools are in the minority. There is not a majority of people that go to the Christian school. Our society is formed by the teaching of humanism in the public school. We have an ungodly society. You say, what's wrong with Hollywood? Okay, anytime there's a preacher on the movie, like Little House on the Prairie, what is he? Catholic. He wears a bondage collar. You never see, you know. And just so you know, when Americans first got here, the Puritans and them, being a Catholic was outlawed because that's what they were running from in Europe. That's what they were running from. Nobody wanted that. That's the government that they established. We came over here to America. It was in many places against the law. Obviously, that's changed. But that's not a true picture of the way it was. We are dealing with an ungodly society trained in the public schools with a religion of humanism. I'm my own God. I determine right from wrong. In Proverbs, Solomon wrote of humanism, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes. He's justified. Every way of man is right in his own eyes. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Let me give you an example of humanism. I don't have a problem with President Reagan's term. It was Reagan, Bush, Clinton, and now it's Bush again with his son. Reagan goes back a ways with Reaganomics. Reagan has on his tombstone above the ark, when you go to see his tomb, and it has, I believe, every man is in his heart good. Can I show you a picture of your heart? Just do what you feel. Just if it feels good, do it. Follow your heart is the teaching of society. Let me show you a picture of your heart. Take Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. Go to there real quickly. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. I hate the clock. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. I think if this verse isn't, this is a humbling verse. If this is not underlined in your Bible, it ought to be. But the heart of man is desperately wicked. I mean, it's deceitful above all things. That means it lies to you. And desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's your heart. Just do what your heart tells you to do. I mean, how do you feel about it? Well, forget how you feel about it. What does God say about it? Who cares what you feel about it? Well, I just don't feel that. That's your problem. You live by your feelings. Kick the feelings aside, find out what God says on it, and do what God tells you to do. Unless you're a humanist. I didn't tell you you're lost and on your way to hell, but your thinking is humanistic. Whoso followeth his heart is a fool, because your heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Our society needs to learn that. We as Christians, we don't trust our heart. We don't go with our emotions. We are interested in obeying the Word of God. Here we go. How can waffles, not pancakes, waffles. Okay, here we go. How can we tell a humanist? How can we tell a humanist and what they are? There are four levels of humanism, okay? And really the last one isn't. I wrote them up higher on the board. The first one is a committed humanist. He marches for the rights to abortion. He marches for the right of homosexuality. He marches for sexual freedom. He could be called a hippie. He doesn't have to be, but he's very vocal about his humanism. Do you know what has removed the crosses at Arlington Cemetery over the graves of the soldiers? Humanism has. The ACLU. They lie about the separation of church and state. And they say, see, we're supposed to kick God out of the government. Separation of church and state, that is humanistic. Separation of church and state was intended to keep the government out of the church, not the church out of the government. That's what our founding fathers died for. That's what they were standing for. They said, that is freedom. Separation. Congress shall make no law concerning any establishment of religion. That's separation of church and state. Not taking down the crosses over in the Arlington Center. What a bunch of junk. That's humanism. You ought to be able to see it in society. You ought to be able to see it when you vote. That's why I don't think anybody ought to be vote. Look, they're for the Big Brother movement, cradle to the grave welfare. Let the government take care of you. How come every time a disaster happens, 9/11 or the Columbine shooting, how come they always say it's up to the government to make laws to protect what? Man from himself. No, sir. That's communism. Heaven forbid we look at what music they were listening to. Heaven forbid we look at, might want to glance at their religion. Maybe 9/11 was prompted by an evil, violent religion. Muslims are, Islam is a peaceful religion. They want a piece of you, they want a piece of me. You say, I don't like that. I don't like it either. Doesn't bless my heart. They want to kill you. Their Bible tells them to. It's not a peaceful religion. Heaven forbid we look at the music they were listening to. Heaven forbid we look at their religion. Heaven forbid, Columbine, it's the guns. Maybe it was the video games they were playing. Where they can lay a picture of their students on a scanner, scan it into the computer program, and then have, when the things that they're shooting coming towards them, it's a student's face that they plan on shooting, and they are killing them over and over and over again. But let's not talk about that, because that's not politically correct, and that'll take the blame off of the guns. There are several types of humanists. The first one is a committed humanist. They march for their rights. The second one is a Christianized humanist. This one is in society, and this one is a little more reserved. They're not as vocal, but they have in their mind that they still agree with it. They agree with abortion. They agree with homosexuality. They agree with the full sexual freedom. They agree with situation ethics. You say, what's situation ethics? Situation ethics is where, well, it's not lying is wrong, but every once in a while, it's okay to lie. Would you like to know what the school textbooks teach? Watch this. In the school textbooks, it says here, Quote, this is from Inquiries in Sociology. This is a high school textbook in the public school. There are exceptions to almost all moral laws, depending on the situation. What is wrong in one instance may be right in another. Most children learn that it's wrong to lie, but later they learn that it's tactless, if not actually wrong, to lie under certain circumstances. My Bible says a liar will not go unpunished. Will not go unpunished. That's what we're to teach our children, not, well, if you really get into a jam and you might die, then go ahead and tell a lie, because the situation determines right from wrong, not the Bible. That's garbage. Here we go. They believe these things, but they're not vocal about it. That's the Christianized humanist. Then you have the humanized Christian. This is the one that scares me. This person has been born again in the Sunday school or at a revival meeting. He's been led to Christ by a friend and is truly saved and on his way to heaven. He has, however, been listening to so much secular humanistic teaching that he is sympathetic to the humanistic goals. He, of course, is so deluded that there is no impact or influence for Christianity. What would cause somebody to say, I know what the Bible says, but I will not do it? That's humanism. Do you know what the Bible says? Oh, yeah, I know what the Bible says. I've read it through many times. Then why don't you obey? I don't believe it. I agree, but I don't believe it. What I really believe is what I was programmed in Hollywood and what I was programmed in the public school and what I was programmed that thinking. It's amazing what we watch society do. Christians, born again Christians. Finally is the committed Christian. Now, if I were to take, now this is really the crux of the whole lesson here, and I know I maybe have gotten a little too excited about this, but before I show you the application of and so that you can recognize it in your own life, let me read you two quotes. Dr. Nelson Bell said, Christians need to recognize the solemn fact that humanism is not an ally in making the world a better place to live. It is a deadly enemy. It is a religion without God and without hope in this world or the next. William Simmons, former Secretary of State, speaking of humanism in politics and in government, listen closely to this, said, if we continue to move down this same path, our disease will be irreversible and our liberty will be lost. The battle is being lost and not a shot is being fired. My few years in office have been like a bad dream. I'm leaving Washington at the end of this term. I go back to New Jersey, a very frightened man. As Secretary of State, I see humanism everywhere. They're kicking God out. They're becoming their own God. Our society is hurting. Say, okay, what's the crux, Brother Nash? A committed humanist, his order of life and living is he has body, mind, and spirit. His spirit's last and he's lost. His body tells his mind what to do. He does whatever feels good, his situation. The end justifies the means. If I can get by and do it and get on top, then it's right. His body is first, his mind is second, and his spirit is last. The Christianized humanist, he's lost. His spirit is last, but his mind tells his body what to do. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They worship the mind. Education is their God. The more you know, the more powerful you are. I'm for education. But the mind in this lost person tells his body he has character. He knows how to show up at work on time. He can discipline his own finances. He's lost. He does it without God. He is a what you'd call a Christianized humanist. The third one, a humanized Christian. This person, the body is last. The spirit's in the middle. His order is mind, spirit, and body. Problem is his mind tells his spirit what to do. He is a disciplined person, but his mind tells his body. Why would somebody? Okay, let me give you an example of a humanist. A humanized Christian, says, "I'm more interested now. I'm for education, but education is more important than religious training." Now, I'm not for your kid not being able to add. But when the mind is elevated above God, that means your mind is your God. And that means you're a humanist to that degree. Lastly, a committed Christian is one whose order of life is his spirit comes first. The Holy Spirit tells his spirit what to do. He has a yielded spirit to God. The Holy Spirit tells the mind what to think. And then the mind, the spirit-controlled spirit, tells the mind what to think and the body how to react. That's a committed Christian. It is totally opposite from the committed humanist. Your mind should not be your God. I hope this morning has helped. There's so much material on it. I'm amazed. But I think what amazes me most is Christians can't recognize it. Well, what's wrong with country music? What's wrong with it? It's without God. God's not there. What's wrong with rock music? Tell me what's wrong. It's humanistic. God isn't there. Well, what's the big deal about that? You're a humanist. Now, all of us have areas to grow in, including myself. I'm very convicted when I read this and when I study it, so I'm not talking down to anybody today. But I hope after a Sunday school lesson like this, we could look at our own life and say, where am I a humanist? Where do I kick God off the throne and I call the shots? Because that's where I need to grow at. I hope this has been a help. Let's pray. Please help us, Father, this morning. I ask that, Lord, this be a strengthening and not a hurt. I wish every person in here to be stronger because of what we learn. Lord, help us to see it in society. And Lord, help us to go soul winning. Help us to give your word out and truth. Lord, help us to establish your word in our lives as that which we live by, not our feelings and our emotions. We love you and we need you. Bless the service. Thank you for our man of God. Bless him while he preaches to us this morning. We need you now in Jesus' name. Amen.